Psalm 30 this morning. It's also in your bulletin. If you'd like to look there, we'll begin our service in God's Word. We'll end our service in God's Word as well. Let's just be what it is. And in the middle, we'll sing in fellowship. That's what we've come together to do this morning. Quite a week in our world. Quite a week. And yet, this book has not altered or changed one whit. The truth of it endures forever. The God of it abides forever, and He will uphold it. In Psalm chapter 30, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by Thy favor Thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide Thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to Thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise Thee? Shall it declare Thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be Thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. And we get a running start right here this morning. Brother Tom Taylor, if you will, come and begin our service with a word of prayer. And we're looking forward to just more of God's goodness, the remembrance of His holiness in this whole month as we give thanks and prepare for a great work this season.
Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an honor really it is to be here this morning just to praise and worship You, dear God. Your Word tells us if we just seek, knock, and ask, You will be there for us. You will answer our prayers. And You have, dear God, and You do. And we thank You so much. We just ask You to bless each person here this morning. Lord, knowing that we all have problems. Some have financial problems, some family problems, some seeking jobs. We just pray, Lord, that You will provide all those needs and continue to bless. And thank You so much for our church staff here that does such an outstanding job. We need them. We ask You to bless them, dear God, and we just pray that You'll be with the pastor as he brings our message to us this morning. Lord, that we will hear the Word and not just hear it, dear God, and just say it was good to be in church. Lord, that we would just go out and live it, just witness to people. Lord, I do pray that every day, Lord, that You will just put someone in front of me that I can witness to and do my sincere, earnest best to lead them to a saving grace of Jesus Christ. I thank so much in my prayer time, Lord. I generally close prayers and just praying for every lost soul on the face of this earth. Lord, knowing where they're going if they leave this earth not knowing You as their precious Lord and Savior. Best never to be born again or born if you leave this world not knowing Christ as your Savior. So we just should all witness so and try our very best to lead these souls to the leading grace of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for our pastor who's going to bring the message this morning. Just bless and bless each person that is here, Lord, all of their needs. And Jesus Christ, we pray and we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Tom. God bless you. Let's take a hymn book and stand and sing 347. 347. Let's stand together, please, and sing, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Savior's Blood?" Here we go.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me who caused His pain, for me who Him to death pursued?
like people don't talk like this anymore. These words are rich. I mean, look at this third verse. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Wow. Okay, when we get down to this last chorus, I want you to lift up your head and sing Amazing Love. How can it be? On the fourth verse, sing it now.
No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in Him is mine. Alive in Him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness.
People said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Great singing this morning. There's something about a harp. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 26, I believe 26 verse 13, I think it is. So David played on the harp and Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Listen as the Rogers, Melissa and Michelle, play a beautiful harp duet.
Thank you.
I'm fascinated by authors of kind of the past generations. And one of the things that I've noticed over the last couple of years especially is their constant reference to quietness in services. I don't really remember a time where quietness in services was kind of a theme and an important thing. But I love times like that when you're not necessarily just beset by noise, but can just contemplate and can really dwell on what God's doing in your heart and think on that. And it's maybe something that was more regular in other days. I know in our society as a whole, it's difficult to find. But what a beautiful, beautiful piece that was. And we appreciate that. There's a lot coming up. You see there's a lot going on up here on this platform. A lot of things are changing. Things are on the floor. Stuff's hanging off the ceiling. And it's only going to get worse or better, depending on your perspective. We think it's going to get better here over the next couple of weeks. A lot of announcements to get to. The Teen Cookie Bake is this Friday night. We had one this past Friday night. We're having another one this coming Friday night. So teens, you already know about that. Some of you might not if you're not there on Thursday night, which, by the way, every Thursday night right down here in the youth building, 7 o'clock, while the main service is going on here, Youth Alive is alive and kicking down there. We're having a good time. We've been in some creation videos, wrapping that up this week with a gospel presentation. Brother Conrad Westbrook sharing something that really punctuates that, really makes a nice end to that. But we're there every Thursday night. Want you to be there as well. But we'll be doing our Teen Cookie Bake, the second one, this Friday night at 5:30. Journey practices all week long. Make sure that you know when your journey practices are. And if someone hasn't contacted you about that, see the division leader, the person that's the head over your department. And if you don't know who that is, find Brother Mark or Miss Karen Besser or somebody like that. They probably know who that person is, or they may know the information that you're looking for. But that's happening all week long, so be aware of that as well. Also, Horizons. That's what I had started to write it down, but I didn't. Horizons Group. Now, something that doesn't get mentioned a lot in here because we meet at 9 o'clock in our Sunday school hour right up there in the church offices. And so some of you may not know what's going on up there, but all of our college age and singles, young singles, we all meet together Sunday school time for our Bible study hour. We're there, been going for a few years now. You may not know we're up there because we're away from the group, but every year we take our big retreat over New Year's. We're doing that again this year, and I want you to make preparation for that. I'll have more information in the coming week. And they're bugging me about staying longer. They want to stay longer. They forget that it costs more money when you stay longer. They seem like they're okay with that. I don't know if they are or not, but we're going to get that all settled and get that information to you. A lot of things going on. Make sure you look at the bulletin. Keep up with those things, the dates that are coming up. There's another reason you need to look at the bulletin. If you are a guest with us this morning, your first time or first time in a long time, perhaps, being here at the home place with us, you're an honored guest. We are so glad that you're here. A lot of places that you could have been, and you chose to come here, and we're so thrilled that you did. And we want to know more about you. We want to be able to get in touch with you, not do anything else, but just simply say thank you and make sure that your stay here today was a good one. And if you'll look at that bulletin on the side, there's a little flap. If you'll tear that little flap off and fill out the things that are on there, and then do one of two things with them. Now, you can just drop it in the offering plate in just a few moments. That can be your donation this morning is just that right there. That's all we'd ask is to have that. But what we'd rather you do with this little slip of paper is keep it with you, and then immediately after the service, go straight through those double doors back there and turn immediately to the right, and then come into a little reception area we have for our guests. We have some refreshments there. We have some gifts we'd like to give you. And most of all, we'd like to meet you, get to know you a little bit. The pastor and the staff, we'd like a chance to shake your hand and find out how you found that, just where you learned about us, who invited you. And if you brought a guest, come on in with them and introduce us to them. That's a great time. We really enjoy that time and getting to know the folks that come to us. So take that little piece of paper, tear it off the side of your bulletin, fill that out. There's some other things on the back if you're a member, some places to serve, ordering DVDs and CDs at the services, things like that. But make sure if you're a guest with us this morning to fill those things out and bring that into that visitor reception as soon as the service is over. Thank you.
Page 727, Faith is the Victory. You can remain seated. We'll sing together. You can remain seated if you like. 727.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and breast the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our earth be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On the last, to him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish every force of night in Jesus' conquering name. Sing it now. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Well, good music today already. I've enjoyed it so much. And now we come to the time for the offering. And I hope you will either drop that little form that you filled out and tore off the bulletin into the offering plate, or wonderful if you bring it to the reception time we have for our visitors and those who brought visitors after the service. I'm going to get to move there very quickly today after I baptize, rather than generally I'll go over here on this side and say goodbye to you folks who are watching on live stream, but I'm not going to do that today. Because there's no place over there to do it. And that's all been changed and everything is different. But that's all right. Good things going on. And I looked around at the choir tonight and there's nothing in there. There's almost 3,000 square feet on this platform. And whenever you take that much out of there, there's a long space back there to where they are. And we don't have the plexiglass things that keep the sound of the orchestra from going into the choir mics. Some people ask me sometimes, why are those plastic things up there? Well, that's to keep the orchestra from going into the choir mics. And whenever that happens, if you turn up the choir, you just turn up the orchestra. And so try to put a separation in there. It's worked very well. Kind of creative, but it's worked very well. And we thank the Lord for that. Ushers, come forward, if you will, while they're coming. I want to say happy birthday to Kenny Gogan, who's 70 years old today. Big zero today. And last night on the riverboat cruise, last night we learned that Dallas Wright, where is Dallas? Dallas, you said you were 46 years old last night. I heard you say that. I heard you say that, and after you said that, I was afraid that boat was going to sink. Now, I told Mike what you should have said. Here's what you should have said. I look like I'm 46. Oh, okay. All right, but we say happy birthday to you. I want you to pray for the family of Robert Floyd. His father passed away on Friday evening. And so be much in prayer for that family. And then I want you to just praise the Lord for Kenny Cox. He and Patty generally sit right down here on the very front, somewhere right down here. And Kenny had brain surgery this week. And boy, it's amazing how they do that. And he's home and doing great. And he had that surgery on Thursday, I believe it was. And he was home Saturday. And that's amazing how they do that. But I guess that's, kind of the health care plans, how they do that. They don't want to pay any more than they have to. man, if I go in the hospital, I want to keep there till I'm better. I mean, I want to be well. I don't want them to send me home too quickly. Doctors are interesting guys. Heaven doesn't work like this. Okay? I know heaven doesn't work like this. But three doctors died, and they were standing at the gate of heaven trying to be admitted. Okay? One of them, and so wherever this comes from, I don't know. St. Peter said, why should we let you in heaven? He said, well, I went to third world countries all over the world, and I helped people. Now, I want you to know, I understand getting to heaven doesn't go like this. I understand that, okay? This is just a story. But it illustrates the truth, okay? And he said, I made trips all over the world to help people with no payment whatsoever, everything like that. Oh, that's wonderful. Come on in. And he goes, the next doctor steps up, and he says, you know, he said, I went into the inner city, and I set up clinics at my own expense, and I took care of folks at no expense to them. Oh, that's wonderful. Come on in. And he got the third doctor. The third doctor said, I went all over the nation of America. He said, went all over the nation of America setting up health care plans. And all this, I went all over helping people get all this squared away and getting their plans all set up. St. Peter said, well, come on in, but you can only stay for 2 days. Yeah. And where did that come from? I don't know. Kenny's home and doing well. And I know you get to heaven by salvation, by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ. I know that. So, okay, but that's a crazy story. Crazy story. Now you're ready to give. Now you're ready to give. I know you are. I know you are. Let me see if I have anything else here. I have a lovely card here from Marshall Vance. And it says, I wish to thank you and all my brothers and sisters in Christ who prayed for me when I had a little mishap at church. And that's what comes when you don't eat, Marshall. You got to eat. Okay, where is he? He's right over here. All right, Marshall, I'm glad you're here. I told him this morning, you don't look like you ever had a sick day in your life. He said, I haven't had many, but that's good. The old Marine. Thanks to Mark and Hope for the visit in the emergency room, and appreciate that. Well, let's pray and ask God's blessing on this time. Father, thank you so much for the good time being together in your house and enjoying one another, enjoying good music, Father, and coming to this time when we have the opportunity to worship and to give to you and to your work and to your cause. I know it's through this church, Lord, but we don't just give to this church. We give to you. And may we not lose sight of that in our giving today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, that has to be one of the most dynamic songs written in recent years about the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you so much, choir and orchestra, and instrumentalists, and Brother Mark, everyone. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful job. Wonderful, wonderful message in that song. And every day with Jesus ought to be sweeter than the day before. We ought to draw closer to Him, love Him more. And I trust we'll do that. Let's stand together, if you will. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than... It's in the bulletin if you need the words, okay? But I don't think you do. Here we go. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me. Those around you, find a visitor maybe, or someone you don't know, introduce yourself, greet one another. You may be seated when you find your place, or just find a place. It's all right. It's all right. Just before Randy sings, I want to read a note here from Dave Rogers. Dear pastor and church family, thank you for the flowers, cards, and prayers during my recent hospital stay. Special thanks to Brother Mark, who drove down to be with me at the emergency room to pray for me. Words cannot adequately express my gratitude to all of you. The verse on the door of my hospital room was James 4:8, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. It's so comforting to know that God is right there with me through it all. And is even more comforting to know that my church family is standing behind me and lifting me up in prayer. Praise the Lord, surgery was not needed. What a mighty God we serve. And Dave, we're thankful that the Lord saw you through that and got you out without surgery. And we rejoice in that. Marvelous song. Nothing quite like mercy and the place that brought the mercy. Randy's going to sing Mercy Tree. Hung the blameless Prince of Peace,
The perfect Lamb was crucified. His sacrifice, our victory. Our Savior chose the mercy tree. Hope went dark that violent day. The whole earth quaked at love's display. 3 days silent in the ground. This body born for heaven's crown. On that bright and glorious day, when heaven opened up the grave, He's alive and risen indeed. Oh, praise Him for the mercy tree that has died, love is won. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus Christ has overcome. He has risen from the dead. One day soon we'll see His face, and every tear He'll wipe away. No more pain or suffering. Oh, praise Him for the mercy tree that has died, love is won. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus Christ has overcome. He has risen from the
tree. Thank you, Randy. Amen. Thank you so much. I was watching Daddy watch her sing. She did all right, didn't she? Yeah, okay. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Genesis. I'll give you the chapter in just a moment, but it's very early in the book. We've been confronted this week once again with the evil that is in the world. Whenever the people in the name of their God stand and with bombs and firearms wreak havoc and death and injury on innocent individuals, what they call soft targets, to initiate their attack, they scream in their language, God is great. Now, I would say in my language, The God of this book is great. But as a child, when we prayed in school, before our little meal, back before the days of even hot lunches, and we simply opened our bag lunch, and we sang a little song that included those words, God is great. But the second phrase was a little different. It said, God is good. The God of this book is not only great, but the God of this book is good. And He designs good. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, in what we call the Olivet Discourse, as Jesus lectured His disciples as He approached His death, in answer to their question, Lord, what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world? And with a rather extensive answer, He goes on in these verses, in chapters 24 and 25 of the book of Matthew. But I bring out one thing that He said in verses 36, 37, 38, and 39 of Matthew 24. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but My Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, if Jesus said the time of His coming again was going to have similarities to the days of Noah, perhaps we would be wise to look at how things were in the days of Noah. For that, we turn to Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, we see a number of things about the days of Noah, but I'm going to call your attention, first of all, in verse 5 of Genesis 6. And we notice here, first of all, the progression of evil. The progression of evil. And God saw the wickedness of man, saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I'm approaching more years than I care to talk about. And I'm not just approaching it, I'm there. But I've seen a progression of evil in this country. Some of you here match my age and some of you exceed my age. Some of you are quite young. Some of you are only 40. But I've seen a progression that as a youngster and even as a young adult, I did not think I would see in my lifetime. I didn't think anybody would see in anybody's lifetime. It's amazing whenever you consider that Noah, though the longevity of those years, of those lives and of those times was extreme, Noah is only 9 generations from the Garden of Eden. It's an amazing thing. The quickness of the progression of evil when it comes into the world. The progression of evil. Man had spread it like a flame across the earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, a little leaven, and leaven in the Word of God is always a type of sin. But a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It just goes through everything. I do not understand the mentality. I do not understand the mentality that is attracted to people who do what these people did this week in France. I do not understand the mentality of people who are attracted to those who flew those planes on 9/11 in this country into buildings and into the ground, killing thousands. I don't understand people being attracted to that mentality. I do not understand that mentality. I do not understand being attracted to that. Other than that, there's a progression of evil. Now, I must say this. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again child of God. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I said this earlier in this week. I say it again. I don't understand the mentality of people going to great expense and trouble to go across this earth blowing up people. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the responsibility to go into all the world showing the love of God. I do not understand why in the culture in which we live, when a Christian does something dumb, or at least they claim the name of Christ, they do something dumb, they say something dumb, this is what's said. That's the way those Christians are. And a Muslim does something like that, was done this week, and they say, well, let's don't lump them all together and put them all in the same box. Let's don't judge them all by the actions of one or a few. Nobody's judging them all by the actions of a few. But I don't understand the difference in that, the way Christians are perceived in that and the way Muslims are perceived in that. Someone said this. I do not know that this is accurately given, but someone purported to have said that in France, in the cartoon that was drawn, and I understand this is one individual saying it, but they said, don't pray for France. We have enough religion. Really? Then I thought about it. They probably do have enough religion. What they need is Jesus. Amen. The Bible only uses the word religion one time in a good sense. Only one time is the word religion used in a good sense. And that's in the book of James. But the progression of evil has marched forward and increased with rapid speed like a stone rolling down a mountain. And we're in the middle of that today. It's happened in this land. It's happening around the world. It's happened in other places, and realistically, it's going to happen here again. the threats against Russia. The statement has been made to France, we're not through with you yet. It'll be interesting to see what they do. But there is a progression of evil. And I'm not talking about just evil in as manifest in this way. I preached basically this same sermon on August the 8th, 2004. That week, about 6 or 8 blocks from where I lived in Deltona, 5 people had been brutally murdered over what seemed to be nothing more than an Xbox player. The progression of evil. God looked on the earth in Noah's day, and he saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I see not only the progression of evil, but I see the pervasiveness of wickedness. It's everywhere. It's in every part of our society. It seems that nothing is unaffected. It seems that in our schools have been targets of wickedness. I saw once again a cartoon this week. That was an old cartoon. It was a statement that, and a thing that was drawn relating to, I believe it was Columbine, whenever the shooting took place in Columbine. And one kid asked another kid, why didn't God stop that? And the other kid looked at him and said, didn't you know they kicked God out of school? Now, I understand that is perhaps an oversimplification, and I understand it, but it does convey something that has a truth in it. In government, government is not unaffected by this. And because government is not unaffected by this, government doesn't know how to deal with it. They have no answers. Wickedness does not deal with wickedness. You understand that? Now, it may be in a different box. The wickedness may be in this particular area here, but the wickedness over here does not know how to deal with wickedness in this area. The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of his heart was only evil continually. In entertainment, the progression of wickedness has gone beyond anything I think any of us could possibly imagine. And we allow people to sit in our living room and curse God and laugh at God, make fun of God, commit immorality in our living rooms. But because it's in a box on the wall, it's okay. Even religion is infected with wickedness. I'm talking about even in Christianity, we're infected with wickedness. It's in businesses, it's in families, it's in our homes, it's in sports. It's everywhere. The wickedness of man on the earth is pervasive. And every thought of their mind is not only pervasive in society, and in our culture, is pervasive in the individual life. Third thing I say to you today is there is a possibility of righteous living, even in such a society. And that is true of Noah's day. Because Noah was a righteous man who had been justified by faith in believing what God had said, and by faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, he by faith prepared, believing God, for things not seen as yet. He simply believed that what God had said, God was going to do. And he did that thing because he believed God. It's interesting in Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. It says that we should live in such a way that we be found blameless and harmless. Blameless and harmless. The sons of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. He's talking to the people of that day. But dearly beloved, it is for us today that we should live our lives blameless and harmless, the sons of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. The word crooked there is the word scolio, from which scoliosis comes, the curvature of the spine. And the spine is the very stabilizing part of the body. And the very thing that stabilizes society and stabilizes our nation is a crooked thing now. It's bent. It does not stand straight anymore. Daniel lived in a society that was absolutely against his God. And his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we call them the three Hebrew children. They stood for God when they stood alone. I wonder now, in this room, in the days of Noah, I do not know the population. There are estimates of the population that would be in the earth in Noah's day. But I don't know that we know that. That would be impossible to know. But I wondered if in Orange City there were only... what's the population of the city? 10? 11. Wow. I had no idea it had grown that much. 11,000 in Orange City. I'm sure the population of the earth was greater than that in Noah's day. But in Orange City, if there were only 8 standing for God, would you be one of those? In Orange City, if there were only 1 standing for God, would you be that one? We sing a little chorus, "I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back." Good song. Good dedication. Good purpose. It's easily sung. Has a good melody. The intervals in the song are easily sung. It's not hard to follow. The melody is easy to learn and the words are very simple, but very profound. Then the last verse says, "Though no one join me, still I will follow." And not only will I follow, but I'll still continue trying to get others to join me. That's what Noah did. "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be And there may come a time that you have to stand alone. And there will come a time, maybe not in an entire city, but in a personal location. There will come a time that you'll have to make a decision whether or not I'll stand for Jesus Christ, or whether I'll just go along with what's taking place. Who has the answer? Who's qualified to solve this thing? Well, I guarantee you one thing. There's a lot of people willing to try. There's a lot of people wanting a shot at it. But I must tell you, the only answer is in this book. Now, you can say whatever you want to. You can refuse that and say, oh, well, that's just, you know, you say it's in the Bible, so what in the Bible? Yeah, it doesn't mean a thing. You know, you can say that all you want to. But I promise you, if you, in your individual life, and if in our culture and in our society, we would simply take the principles of this book and live righteous lives in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, God will prove His Word true. The problems economically in this nation and in the world would be solved if we would go by this book. If we would take the financial principles of this book. The problem with our youth of this nation would be solved if parents followed this book. The problem with corruption in government would obviously be solved if they followed the principles of this book. And yet, whenever there comes problems and there come situations, rather than returning to this book, they push it further away because they think the answer is the problem. And when you think the answer is the problem, you have no hope. Possibility of righteous living and the responsibility of righteous living. If Noah did that in his day, I can do it in my day. And you can too. You can do that. I look across this congregation and I see what some people call Q-tips, of which I am one. I see also some no tips, by the way. It doesn't mean a whole lot to us that are older. I don't guess. Maybe it does. It doesn't to me. I mean, you know, if somebody lines us up like they did in a classroom not too long ago and said, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? You know, take a bullet. I'll stand up and take mine. That's not a problem to me. But I was impressed that it was young people that did that. And whenever they said, are you a Christian? The first one that stood up, that was impressive. But boy, I'm going to tell you one thing. After that one was shot, the second one that stood up, that took something. for nothing more than their faith in Jesus Christ. Now I want you to see in Genesis chapter 6, verse 7, God will deal with this. I read an interesting article this morning in USA Today, and I know they are not a weekend paper, but they still do their weekend on Twitter and all those kinds of things, and on their web page and everything. And there was an article in that written, which really surprised me, about what has to be done. What has to be done. And I do not want to get into the mechanics of things, because I sure don't know what's going on. I do not know the answers. I'm not privileged to intelligence, if there indeed is any intelligence. But they said, we have instructed our armed forces, our Air Force particularly, that there can be absolutely no collateral damage, no civilians harmed in what they do in their raids. And they have to live by that guideline. Well, as much as I admire the motive of that, that's simply not practical. That simply cannot work. And they said, some things have to be done and sacrificed in order to have victory, that the greater good may be accomplished. Now, may I say this about God? God is great and God is good. Of course, a little song we said, say, God is great and God is good. Let us thank Him for this food. And I don't think we sang it. I think we just said it. I can't get the tune if we did. By His hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. And then we'd say amen and chow down. Chow down on peanut butter and jelly. And it wasn't all that bad. Still not. But God's going to clean this thing up as He did in that day. Look what it says in verse 7. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. He's the one that made it. He can destroy it if he wants to. Did you ever stack blocks one on top of another and see how high you could stack them? And did you ever have anybody knock them down for you? Yeah, okay. Now, my idea was, if I stack them up, if I want to knock them down, and generally that's why I stacked them up, so I could knock them down. Now, that's not why God created us. But if God stacked it up, God can take it down. God can do that. He said, I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Both man, beast, creeping things, fowls of the air, and it repented him. For it repenteth me that I have made them. There is a punishment of sin. Not only a possibility of righteous living, there's a punishment of sin. There was an outpouring of the wrath of God on the earth. God hates sin and God deals with it. And if that sin that He hates is located in an individual, He will deal with it in that individual. Not that He hates the individual, but that He hates the sin. And He will deal with the sin where it is pervasive. Whether it's in an individual, or whether it's in a nation, or whether it's in the entire earth, God will deal with sin. Because He's dealing not just with a nation, He's dealing with the sin. And if it is pervasive in that nation, then that nation is affected by it. Do you understand that in the flood, what God effectively did was He gave the earth a bath? He washed the earth. He cleansed it by washing and started all over. But God said, I'm not going to do that anymore. And it seems like the progression and the pervasiveness of sin in this day in which we live has become so great and has become so bad, has become so wicked, has become so intense that it will not be cleansed by washing. It has to be incinerated. There are some things that can be cleansed by washing. But there are some things that are so infected, you don't wash them, you burn them. And God said, the next time I deal with this wickedness, the next time I deal with this sinfulness, this evil in the earth, He said, the earth is mine. I will cleanse the earth. If man has infected my earth, I will cleanse the earth by cleaning man from the earth. The fifth thing is this. I want you to see the protection of God. The protection of God. When God said in verse 11, 12, and 13, the earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with, what's that next word? Violence. One thing consistently throughout the Bible that God hates is violence. Violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted His way. His way upon the earth. His way was corrupted. His way is peace, joy, and love. That's His way. And that is corrupted in this earth. It wasn't Noah's day. It isn't this day. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come up before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14 said, make an ark. Make an ark. There's going to be an escape route provided. It's going to be God's escape route. God said, I'm going to give you a protection. Build an ark. Gave him very specific instructions about how to build it. He gave him instructions about what to put on the outside and on the inside to make it waterproof. He gave all the instructions about what to bring in and what to leave off and everything like that. And he gave him instructions to preach that this is going to be the way of escape. He says, tell people about it. While you're working on it, build it. And while you're building it, tell the people what's going to come, what my plan is, what I'm going to do, and the plan I have provided for them to escape. Now the problem is not just that there is wickedness on the earth and God's going to destroy the earth, but now the problem is you've got to make a decision whether you're going to accept God's provision or say, I'll take my chances without God. And it's a decision everybody has to make. I'll accept God's provision. Now I want you to notice something about the ark. The ark is just not, I think as children sometimes we hear Bible stories. And I understand there are stories from the Bible, but we get the idea they're just stories. That they're not interconnected with everything throughout the entire book. But the ark is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, down verse 20 through 22 of the third chapter of 1 Peter. It talks about Noah, and it talks about the day of Noah, wherein, and about him building the ark, wherein eight souls were saved by water. Now, some people take that English translation of by water, and they say, well, you've got to be baptized to be saved. That the water is going to wash your sins away. Now, I want you to know that it wasn't the water that saved Noah. It was the ark that saved Noah. But he saved Noah through the water. I want you to know that everything that happened to the people that were not in the ark happened to the ark. The ark took the force of the storm of God's wrath. The ark took the winds, the rain, the tossing, the outpouring of the wrath of God, coming water out of the earth and waters from the sky. All of those things converged upon the face of the earth. And the ark took the full force of God's outpouring of His wrath on the earth. Even so, our Lord Jesus Christ took the full force of the outpouring of God's wrath on sin when He died for us on the cross. And the only place of safety was not in the water. The only place of safety was in the ark. And the only place of safety now is in Christ. And when you're in Christ, you're in the place where all of the wrath of God has been poured out. And the protection of the ark protected Noah and his family, and in Christ, we are protected from the outpouring of the wrath of God because we're in the place that God's wrath has been poured out. Number one, are you in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I'm just going to tell you, I have no date for the coming of Christ. I have no date for that. Why would I have a date for something the Bible says of that day and hour know no man? Why would I possibly have a date for that? If God says it can't be known, and I say I know it, there's something wrong somewhere. And it's not only with me, it's with anybody that says it, okay? But I must tell you, as it was in the days of Noah, if there's anything true, I think it's worse today than it was in the days of Noah. Now, I don't look from God's perspective. I look from my perspective, but I look with some perspective according to what God has written in His book. I don't often say I don't see how it could be much longer, because I know there have been bad times throughout the world, in the history of mankind on this earth. I know there have been bad times. But I don't see how it can be much longer. If I were not in Christ, I believe I'd get in. Makes sense. I mean, it's reasonable. I pray for the people of France. I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for our missionaries that are there. There are people there who have been brought face to face with the reality that this life's going to finish. I'll be honest with you, I want to be, every moment, I don't want to be anywhere I wouldn't want my life to finish. I don't want to be in any place that I would not want my life to finish. I would not want to say anything I would not want to be my final words.
I just wouldn't do that. Are you in Christ? Number two, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, are you living blameless and harmless as a child of God, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ? Number three, are you in the midst of that, living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, as it says in Philippians chapter 2, and as Noah did, it says, holding forth the word of life. See, that's how we live. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, we live blameless and harmless as God's children, holding forth the word of life, telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, letting our light shine. It's all right there in those verses. Holding it forth. Let's stand together. On this day, after another wake-up call in Europe, may our hearts be awakened to the importance of being right with God. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who says, Preacher, I do not know that I'm in Christ, but it makes sense to me. I do believe He died on the cross. I believe He's the Savior. And today, I'd like to trust Him as my Savior. I would do that. I'll do that today. Would you just simply, right now, tell Him that? You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, let me help you. Let me help you. Would you tell Him, dear God? You don't have to pray that out loud. Just between you and God, would you whisper this to Him? Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. But I sure do want to go when I die. I do believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe He rose again with power to forgive my sins. And right now, I trust Jesus Christ as my own Savior. Would you tell Him that? Right now, dear Lord, I trust You as my own Savior. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you a couple other questions in just a moment. But I wonder, for me and for you, this is not for God. God knows already. But for me and for you, is there anyone, just slip your hand up and say, Preacher, I did that. Today I asked Jesus to be my Savior. God bless you. Any others? Any others? Any others? Join these. God bless you. God bless you. That's wonderful. Any others? I did that. I did that. Today I did that. What a wonderful thing. I'd sure love to meet you. Love to shake your hand and encourage your heart. I'm going to stand down front in just a moment. If you just walk up and say to me, I want you to pray for me, that I'll be what God wants me to be. Now, He's already made you what He can make you as far as forgiving your sins. He's already done that. But I'd sure like to have a word of prayer with you. You don't have to do that, but I'd like to do that. There may be some here that need to be part of this kind of a church. You're looking for a church home. And you say, this is the kind of church I want to be part of. I'm going to invite you to come join with us here. Cast your lot with us here. There may be some here that need to come follow the Lord in believer's baptism. In just a moment, we're going to have the instruments play. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. And if God has spoken to your heart, and this is your time, I'm going to ask you to come, even right now. Right now, as the instruments play. One more verse. This is for you. This is for you. Thank you so much. You may be seated. This is Scott and Jolie Kelly. I'm going to ask them to stand here with me, if you will, folks. I do not know this street in DeLand, but I've got to find your street. Scenic Magnolia. Lovely, isn't it? Don't you just like that? It's just like that street. Scenic Magnolia. Scott, do you believe Jesus died on the cross for you?
Yes.
And have you trusted Jesus as your Savior?
I have.
And you followed Him in baptism since your salvation?
I did.
And now you want to come be part of this church?
Yes.
Amen. 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 Jolie, you've trusted Christ as your Savior?
Yes, sir.
And been baptized since you were saved?
I have.
And now you want to come be part of this fellowship here?
Yes, I do.
Well, we're just thrilled to have you.
Hey.
We really are. And I know George Reeser's particularly glad to have him. Of course, we always know that you're the better half, so, you know.
Not always.
But if you rejoice to receive these folks, if you rejoice to receive the Kellys, would you let them know it by saying amen?
Amen.
We do rejoice. We rejoice in... We want to welcome you, and we want to sing and say welcome to this family. We're just delighted to have you and thrilled God's led you here. Welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to this family of God. We're your brothers, we're your sisters, come on in. Welcome to this family of God. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're just delighted to have you. Hope you'll stay here and stand right at the front at the end of the service. Let the folks come by and greet you. And I know you'll remember every one of their names whenever you tell them. But you'll remember Scott and Joey, okay? And these folks right here have come to join with us also. And I always mispronounce this name, so I'm going to give it a try. Walter and Flo. Now, I got that right. So stand here with me, if you will, please. But is it Stanzi?
Stanzi.
Stanzi?
Take the T out.
Scanzi.
Stanzi.
Scanzi. S-K.
Scanzi. 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 Okay. Now, you understand, I'm from West Virginia. And I'm an old man, and my hearing's about gone, and so it's really difficult. You understand that?
My wife thinks my hearing's gone.
Excuse
my wife
me.
Thinks my hearing's gone.
Okay. All right. Waller, do you believe Jesus died on the cross for you?
Yes.
And have you trusted Him as your Savior? And after trusting Him, you followed Him in believer's baptism? Wonderful. Wonderful. And Flo, you've trusted Christ as your Savior? And you've received believer's baptism.
I have.
And now you all want to come and join with us here.
Amen.
Amen. Where are you from?
We're originally from New England, New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
We're last 9 years in Florida.
Last 9 years in Florida.
Yeah.
So you do understand you all.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. I knew you were from in New England, and I wasn't sure whether you would understand that or not. But we're just delighted God sent you here to be with us, and thank God for that. And if you're delighted to receive them, would you let them know it by saying amen?
Amen.
And we sing to you, Sue, and tell you welcome. Thank you for being here. Welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to this family of God. We're your brothers.
doors, we're your sisters. Come on in. Welcome to this family of God.
Thank you all so much. You may be seated. And Brother Mark, if you will, and of course, let the folks come by and greet them after the service. If you're visiting with us today, we'd like you to come by the reception area. If you turn the little slip in the offering, or whether you have it with you, bring it to the reception area. And we promise we won't give you so much food that it'll ruin your lunch, okay? Oh, I don't know what that is.
All right. 3 weeks from today, Journey Through Christmas has our first presentation. 3 weeks, that's all. So it's getting intense right now. So listen, please, as you leave every service for the next couple of weeks, we'll have some tables set up this morning, tonight, and every Sunday for the next couple of weeks. We'll have set up so that you can get your meal ticket. If you are helping during Journey Through Christmas, we provide you dinner. And that's a perk that the church does. You have to rush home from work and get here, and we fellowship for a few minutes and get to eat, and that'll be back there. We need to know how much food to fix, so it's very important that you get the meal ticket. Also, there are a lot of people that come here early and they see a food line, and they mistakenly think that dinner is part of Journey Through Christmas. So we have to have a meal ticket. So get a meal ticket if you want to eat. So make sure and do that. You don't have to do it this morning, but if you'd like to beat the rush and get yours for you and your family, and the other information that's back there. Also, we have construction going on, and a lot of things have to be done before tomorrow evening. So in the morning, Alex Weiss, is Alex here? Is Alex here? I saw him earlier. I thought maybe he had to slip out to go. But if you could help us at 9:30 in the morning, if you have a screw gun, know how to use it, you know, we'll just put you to work. We need 3 or 4 men to be willing to do that tomorrow. So if you would please see me right down here and let me know if you could do that tomorrow morning at 9:30. There'll also be a registration meeting, and for registrars and greeters. You're our first impression. And so if you signed up and would like to help with the greeters or registration, please see Dr. Twilliger. Dr. Twilliger is right back, and the meeting will be over here against the wall, right over here against the wall with greeters this morning, please, right after we dismiss. Also, don't forget about the prayer team meeting at 5:30. God changes things through prayer. So please, if you join us at 5:30 in the activity building this evening to pray for Journey Through Christmas, pray for that souls will be saved. This is a prayer thing, a spiritual effort. Handbells, don't forget your practice at 3 o'clock. Choir and orchestra practice at 4:30 today. Thank you.
Baptism is a beautiful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's where we put our faith, and it's how we show our faith is through this in baptism. Water does not wash away sins, but it's a beautiful picture of salvation. So whenever you see Pam today go into the water and buried, it's in the likeness of his death. And when she comes up out of the water, it's in the likeness of his resurrection. We don't do this because we're Baptists. We do this because this is what the Bible says. So, Pam, upon the profession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your own Savior, and in obedience to God and God's command, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Put both hands over your nose and mouth. Buried in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Amen. It has been done as the Lord commanded. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand together. I want to have prayer with you before you go. Do you need to? Okay, if we have these folks here, I want you to come by and meet them. Say hi to them. And get to know them and tell them how glad you are to have them as part of the home place. All right? And now the home place is their place. Father, I pray today for the situation in our world. Father, I know that government leaders can have your wisdom. I pray they'll be smart enough to look to you for wisdom. I pray, Father, that you'll somehow cause the people of France to think about the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. My Lord, many in that country know about church, but they don't know a lot about Jesus. And so, Father, I pray you'll help our missionaries and the many missionaries that are there, not just the ones that we support, but missionaries that are there trying to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless them and help them to be effective. I pray your Holy Spirit will go before them. Now bless this day, I pray. I pray you'll bring us back for service tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.